see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the east. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Yes. Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Campbell. I am the host of this program, this Watchman for Jesus network. And here we are. I got a lot to cover today, a whole lot. Get your coffee, get your Coke, tea, whatever you got. Sit back. If you take notes or whatever, get ready. I'm going to try to talk slow, but I got a lot to throw at you. I mean, more than usual, I think, today. I do believe. We'll see how it works out. This one is kind of planned. Sometimes my broadcasts aren't really planned. I just pull it together as I'm talking and going. This one, I think I have planned a little bit more because there's so much more I want to cover today. And let you make the decision about certain issues I'm going to bring up. So, with that being said, let's get started. Lord, we thank you today. Bring us together at this broadcast, Lord, and our Bible studies we have every day in these weeks. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be able to have our network and be able to speak the truth, Lord, and guide us in that way. Forgive me, Father, my sins, Lord, and remind me of those that, Lord, that I don't even remember that, Father, you'll bring up that I need to clear, that, Father, you'll be able to bring the Holy Spirit and give me knowledge, Lord, that I can share that with others. And, Lord, we all pray for our families. You hear the individual prayers, Lord, of those that lift up their families and friends, and, Father, they have their own issues and situations, Father, that they're praying, and you know their hearts of all of us, that, Father, the silent prayers that we pray, and, Father, we lift up to you, Father, be in your timing, and in your purposes, and Father, in thy will. We pray for the awakening of this country, that we pray for the leaders, Father, that are in these secret societies, and those, Father, that know what's going on, that they are keeping silent, that, Father, you bring them out and give them the courage, Lord, to give them the opportunity to be able to speak the truth and give them the voice to speak, the opportunity to speak, and, Lord, to reveal to others that are listening, Father, that they can make things happen, that the spread of the gospel that we know is the most important, Lord, the use of yours, that listen to your tiny voice, your small voice inside, that, Father, we'll have the opportunity to do what we are told to do, Father, through the Holy Spirit, to go against the forces of evil in this land, that, Lord, we know we prepare the way for the coming of the Lord by witnessing to others about his salvation. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that gives us that salvation and redemption through his blood. Father, we thank you for this sacrifice. Thank you, Father, for your word, holy word contained in the King James Bible. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the small miracles of stopping some of these abductions and, Lord, to bring the awareness of danger that's happening during these holidays where they sacrifice human beings, that, Lord, that some of those will be thwarted, be stopped. Father, to train us through the Holy Spirit of how to deal with the supernatural realm and deliver those that, Father, under the control or possession of Satan, and those teach them, Father, the spiritual warfare. Father, and to bring out of these churches, Lord, the truth. And we pray for these pastors and preachers and rabbis and those priests, Lord, that know inside that the truth, that, Father, they'll have the opportunity just to speak out the truth to their congregations. Lord, we do pray for an awareness to hit this land and, Father, to prepare us for the days coming, the day of the Lord, that we'll be able to stand, Father, in these times. In all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, we sit here in these, in our homes, and we do our work, and we do our jobs, and if you're not working, then you have your retirement, and whatever you're doing, and you're getting your house prepared, and you're cleaning out your gutter, or you're getting ready to mow your lawn, or you're getting ready to go for a trip this weekend, whatever it is. You got others in D.C. and New York and places that are getting in their car early in the morning, 6 or 7, they're heading down to D.C. They know they got a meeting at the Council of Foreign Relations, and they got to brief them, and it's real important, and they got the ID cards, and the guards check them as they come in, and the eye retinal scans, there you go. Yes, I'm important here. They got their favorite parking place, it's their own, you know. And they're very important folks, and they got the briefcase with the, you know, the handcuff on it, and the, you know, all this really, you know, thing going on here, and everybody's so important, and all the family, that don't mean 2 cents. What they don't realize is the supernatural rules. They're nothing but puppets. And that's a fact. It don't matter whether a 4-star general, you know, making $20,000 a month. It don't make one bit of difference what they are, who they are, what position they hold, whether it's a grand inspector general or whether it's a king of some country or what, I don't know, whatever, Queen Elizabeth or the Pope or whatever. Family, they all got skid marks or undershorts. They're all humankind, and they're going to be judged by Almighty God. It don't make one bit of difference what mankind does, the supernatural is in control. Who's in control of the supernatural? God is. The real God. Now, if you want to believe in evolution, man, have at it. Yeah. Then forget everything you learned in science and physics and chemistry and biology. Just forget about it, because if you believe in evolution, you can't work both sides. It doesn't work. Evolution does not work in scientific principles. One word. Entropy. And let's throw a second word, just for good measure. Thermodynamics. It's done. There's no evolution. Okay, so then let's say, oh, there's intelligent design. Okay, intelligent design. That's good. Okay, who? What intelligence exactly are you talking about? Is the Earth God? Mother Earth? Oh, Mother. Mother Earth. I know when I was in the Marine Corps, and when I was in college, there's many times I spoke to Mother Earth on my hands and knees. You know, that was my days when I wasn't saved. But anyway, now I never really did do that. I was Irish, so really the drinking didn't bother me that much. It was just the stupidity of it that bothered me the most. And man, the wallet got thinner and thinner and thinner. But in any case, that drinking would get you down. Mother Earth is just whatever, you know, it's got living plants on it and trees and whatever. But family, Earth didn't create the Earth. Intelligent design, the Earth didn't say, well, I think I'll take this place here. And the tree will say, well, I'll take this one. Start talking to the trees, they're going to put you away. But family, what's intelligent design? Who? Yeah, you see, that satisfies the lukewarm Christians, intelligent design. Einstein believed in intelligent design. He didn't believe in God of the Bible, because the problem that Einstein had with, because he used to be an atheist till his theories made him realize that there's a superior intelligent reasoning force, a power of intelligent reasoning that is beyond atheism. That something created this universe. But he couldn't accept God the Bible, because God the Bible created man in his image. His reasoning was, well, that means that God is judging himself through man. So he couldn't accept the God of the Bible, but he accepted that there was a God of sort. Left it at that. So, intelligent design, clever, very clever, because that takes the lukewarm Christians and prepares them for the oncoming of disclosure. The lie that they're going to tell you that there's aliens out there. And then for those that don't believe in aliens, no problem. You can call them ascended masters, masters of wisdom, which is a contradictory of term when you go against God. It's pretty dumb. But nevertheless, lust kind of does that for us. So you have intelligent design, and when they have disclosure, it's coming. It's coming. Then begins the falling away. You're in the first seal. First they got to get us fighting each other. Race wars, political wars, communism, and you know, all the isms that you can even begin to name. Creating division among us all is working perfectly. And race fits right in that. You think? And they use a term called Hegelian dialectic, which for my regular listeners, you've probably memorized it by now if you haven't done it by yourself. But to listen to my broadcast, I always talk about the dialectic, because that's one of the most important weapons that the elite uses to enslave humanity, is the Hegelian dialectic. And when you're aware of how the elite uses this dialectic to steer societies, you have a powerful tool in staying ahead of not only them, but the crowd as well. And they know that. Okay, so what they do is they have presented to you what's called secret societies. Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, etc. That they've put in every area of our lives that they've called rays. Ashram rays. I'm not going to go into explanation of these, because I have before, and I'll just tell you what they are right quick. You have Freemasons and Jesuits that are foot soldiers of the Illuminati, and the Illuminati, the hybrid royal families under the subjugation and slavery of the hierarchy above them. Education, philosophy, religions, all of them, including Christianity. Oh, absolutely. Science, the arts, politics, and finance. The entertainment, world kingdoms, world organizations, intelligence services. Everything is under control of the Illuminati, and they control both sides always. And the only problem they have is power lust and lust. And who's going to be the big dog in the kennel? Fighting over scraps, what they're doing. So what is the dialectic? And I'm not going to go into extreme detail of it because I have some other issues but to cover it today. But what it is, the dialectic is their tool. That's their checkmate. It's designed to get us into a frenzied defense or an offense of a particular idea of a thesis. So the natural outgrowth of this original idea is the opposite idea of the antithesis, which will breed its own defense and offense. So the predetermined answer of the elite will be the synthesis of both sides of the conflict. What does that mean? That means they had the sinking of the Maine was a false flag, generated to start a war between Spain and America, Spain and America, Spanish-American War. Okay, so the sinking of the Maine was a false flag. What was that for? It was to get us to a world level of military power, preparing us for the banana wars of the early 1900s and ultimately World War I. See, after the Civil War, we had a little bit of a problem. We needed money. Okay, that's another story. I'm not going there right now. And then we started attacking the Indians, set them up in a dialectic, kill them off, and then put them in reservations was left. That was the purpose of it. Simultaneously, the Rothschilds were orchestrating a war in Japan between samurai and the industrialized desires of the Japanese elite to use them against Russia about another 40 years later. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, 30, 40. That's right. So in 1904, then the Rothschilds had industrialized Japan. They had targeted to kill off the Romanov families in 1904, which really didn't happen until 1917. So the Rothschilds funded both Japan and Russia. One family each made them fight each other, and to make sure that the outcome of the war went favorable, they pulled the money and support from the Russian-supported family. So they lost. Here comes Lenin. Yeah, it was all orchestrated, family. It wasn't history. It was prepared that way. Civil War. Lincoln, in quote, confirms that the Jesuits controlled both sides of our Civil War. They put the French to make sure the South did their part. They put the Germans on the North to make sure we fought each other and killed each other. 525,000 Americans died in a war. We're fighting each other, orchestrated by those cotton-picking Roman Catholic Jesuits and Illuminati. It's always been this way. We just don't learn. Every war is pre-planned. And the outcome of it is already established. You understand the implications of what I've just said? Now think of Arlington. Man, this ticks me off bad. You see, I try to get across to people, but we're so conditioned that people don't know the background. They just, their minds just click right off. Don't want to hear it. But this is what's going on, and they're going to do it again. You know, it's going to happen again. Go ahead, go for it, man. You militia, rah, rah, rah. You FEMA guys, go ahead with your, you know, your federal mandates, whatever, and fight each other, man. Just beat the dickens out of each other and get stupid if you want, but go on and do it again, man. You did it in the Civil War. You did it in the Bonus Army in the 1930s. Man, go do it again, man. Just go for it. Oath Keepers, militia. They got you hook, line, and sinker. And you FEMA boys out there that, you know, got your job and the feds now and all this, you're going to fight your fellow man. Man, just go for it. Pretty stupid, but go ahead. Can do it. Dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. You don't learn a darn thing. You go to Bundy Ranch, there you go. Ferguson, you black and white boys, just beat each other to death. Go. You did it all along. You follow the line. You follow the CFR. You follow the race, whether it leads you to race relations conflict. Hook, line, and sinker, man. Is anybody ever going to learn? Are they ever going to learn? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But God's got it in hand. When he's done, he knows the last one's going to say, I accept Jesus my Savior. That's it. You're in it. The 7-year tribulation is going to begin, and there's no stopping it. You know, in America, the most familiar Hegelian dialectic, and now's a good time to talk about it. Yeah. Republican and Democrat. That's the funniest thing I've seen in my life. Yeah. You know, the Gamble family are Democrats, and Republicans, I don't know, whatever family. The Republicans and Democrats work together. You know that? Republicans start the wars to fill up the graves in Arlington, okay? That's correct. The Council of Foreign Relations, the Council of National Policy, your right-wing religious so-called LaHayes and Pat Robinsons and James Dobsons and Misslers and all these guys, Oliver North, all these guys are on the Council of National Policy. They're Knights of Malta, Freemasons, and they work for the Illuminati. Okay? Council of National Policy, CMP. Oh, it's a secretive right-wing group, LaHayes and all these guys. They're all part of that religious nightmare of elite that pretend to be on your side and not. Well, they're subjugated under the Council of Foreign Relations. They're all connected together as so-called elite. It's going to burn, but they're elite right now under blood oaths. You see how it works? And the Democrat side, Democrats, see, Martin Luther King, he knew about this. He knew about this. That's why he separated himself from all this nonsense to bring people together. And that's why the Pentagon murdered Martin Luther King, JFK, Bobby Kennedy, and Malcolm X. They sure did. Okay, now, so, you know, the Democrats, you know better. Because the Democrat Party, well, actually, I'm going to do this real quick, like, I can just give you a quote. Gosh, you know, it just sums it right up. Oh, yeah. So, Republican Party plans for the death of our soldiers and Marines and all this. They've been planning it since 1921. And before that was those low-lying, low-crawling Jesuits. Yeah, cockroaches. So, they were doing that then, okay? So, Democrats. Yeah. Okay, Democrats. Norman Mattoon Thomas said, and I quote, and by the way, he's a Socialist Party candidate for president, of the U.S., Norman Thomas, said in 1944, when we're supposed to be the New World Order, but the plan failed. The New Deal, the New World Order failed, that FDR was prepared. It's a long story. Anyway, Norman Mattoon Thomas said, and I quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism. But under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program, until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." He went on to say in this speech, "I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. The Democrat Party has adopted our platform." Hey, go Democrats, go. You set up your own demise in communist government. And you're doing it every day. But, man, go for it. Man, just do it, you know. The quicker you get it done, the quicker we get to a new world order, and the quicker Jesus Christ comes when he brings judgment. But now, a socialist party, huh, really? Didn't Reagan say in 1987, didn't he tell this lie? Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't he tell this, make this comment? Gorbachev, tear down that wall? Yeah. Well, Reagan, like Ventura, like all the rest of them, Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. Him, this guy, is governor of California. Reagan, governor of California and president. Family, does it ever dawn on you that they're actors? The word actor kind of makes me a little nervous. Actor. When someone says there's a lion in your house, that's going to make me real nervous. Well, when someone says that they're an actor and they're a president, come on now. Don't that sound a little peculiar? Especially when they're Knights of Malta. And all of them secret society members. Ventura, the whole doggone lot of them, signed their name over to Lucifer under a blood contract to be entertainers. And their presidents and governors? Come on now, family. Surely we're not that naive. Anyway, yeah, I guess we are. So, so socialism, really, Democrats, well, this is really interesting because in 1930, Charles Francis Potter said, I quote, "Education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism, and every American public school is a school of humanism," unquote. Humanism, Marxism, socialism, communism, communitarianism, it's an ism, it works for the same group. You say, well, that's 1930, Tom. And I said, well, okay. I said, well, let's talk about 1989 then. Quote, Georgia Ann Geyer under the Clinton administration. Oh. She says in 1989, I quote, "The percentage of Marxist faculty numbers can range from an estimated 90% in some Midwestern universities," unquote. And at the same time, in 1989, Roger Kimball said, I quote, "With a few notable exceptions, our most prestigious," that includes Harvard, "our most prestigious liberal arts colleges and universities have installed the entire radical menu." Now, he means here Marxist and humanist. Okay, that's what he's talking about. "At the center of the humanities curriculum at both undergraduate and graduate levels," unquote. Oh, what the heck. 1987, Herbert London of New York University, which New York University is a member of Tavistock and CFR, by the way, said, and I quote, "The strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades," that'd be the 60s also, "are breathtaking. Every discipline," every discipline, yeah, "has been affected by its Marxist socialism preachment, and almost every faculty now counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar." How about that, huh? Oh, there's no conspiracy. I read you many times about the quote Chester Pierce gave 2,000 teachers, right? Dr. Pierce of Harvard University. In the teachers' conference in 1973, he said, and I quote, "Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill." "Because he comes to school with a certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future," unquote. Now, how's a child come to school at 5 years old or 7 with all that into him? He's bringing it from his what? Parents. And who would that be about that time? Baby boomer parents are teaching their children. That's why they want to get rid of homeschooling, to stop that. So 5 years old, and these teachers, how come there wasn't an outcry in the 73 and 75? How come there wasn't something done, an investigation? We're going to have a congressional investigation to find out why this thing called humanism is it? No, because we're all part of it, okay? All right, now, so let's talk about Democrat-Republican parties. Y'all going to have an election? You got to be kidding me. It doesn't work. Family, not even the small towns. No. You have Mary Bumgarner or Terry Jones or 10-buck-2 Elmer Fudd, some 10-buck-2 cross-nation towns, I don't know, somewhere in Wisconsin, or just pick one, like pin the tail on the donkey, right? Just pick one. It don't matter. The Freemasons control. The Freemasons are tied together nationwide. This is how it really works. This is reality. They control all these, like Ebola, some people sending money for food and all that. The Freemasons control that. Oh, absolutely they do. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. So, on the right, You've got the corporates, the fascists, the Republicans, are pro-debt, pro-war, pro-corporation. On the left, you have the, which hand's that? Let me, oh yeah, there you go. We have the socialists, the communists, the Democrats that are pro-tax, pro-social issues, and pro-labor. And both these two fight back and forth every year in a contrived, scripted drama known as politics in Washington. To fool you, even on TV. So the synthesis of this, of these so-called opposite ideas, is the middle of the road, lesser of the two evils that we have now, but they have an organization. Now, I'm going to talk about that today, but I'm going to bring into it race, too. Race, feminism, family, this is discussed at the Bilderberg meetings, Club of Rome, Trial Commission. They discuss how these things work. Family, Jesus Christ is going to step on their heads. The only way they're going to stay out of hell is to renounce the blood oath they've taken. Stop telling lies to their families. Start telling the truth no matter what. And they might have a chance. Because they're not going to succeed. They're going to fail horribly. They're going to fail just as bad as a balloon in a pin factory. You see, the elite want to move something fast. They create a problem, reaction, solution. Never crisis go to waste. Uh-huh. The elite, over and over again, create problems. They wait for it to create the inevitable mess that they know is coming, that they can predict, and then they walk in with a predetermined answer. Almost anything that happens in a crisis follows the same pattern over and over and over and over since when? Since 1776. It has never stopped. Huh? That's a fact, too. It can be proven. There's always a freedom choice in any of the Hegelian dialectics that the elite don't even want to consider. That's the kind of out-of-box thinking that threatens their paradigm of power. The one thing they all have in common, secret societies, and there's everything, one thing that the high-level secret societies have in common, they worship Lucifer. It doesn't matter whether you believe him or not. I don't believe in Lucifer. As a, it don't matter what you believe. You can say that all you want, stand on a pedestal. I don't believe in the supernatural. Go ahead, all you want. They do. And they be the ones controlling what you do and what happens to you. You see? You know, the collectivists want to abolish property rights. In the American Revolution, the Constitution are about protecting property rights. But they subjected that, excuse me, they subjugated that a long time ago. The facade is you have a constitution. You don't. But I'm a sovereign citizen, sovereign right. Please, give me a break. Put that somewhere and just look at it for a while because that's all it's worth. Well, I got my name in capital letters. Okay, so that means you don't have to be too farsighted now, don't it? So just put it in a little, you know, little frame. And since it's a capital letters, you don't have to use your glasses to read it. That's great. That's all it's worth. When they have a national disaster, family, they're going to declare martial law. That is nothing but a piece of paper then. It's a piece of paper now. And you can use, if you run out of toilet paper, you can tear it out of the, I don't know, the framework, and it's worth something. I don't leave much to the imagination. I don't really just piddle around with things. I try to tell you exactly the truth. Now, this is what they've done. It's what they're doing right now in their little sandbox. But I can assure you, their little sandbox is going to turn into concrete. When the supernatural raises its head, all bets are off. And there's not a darn thing they can do about it. I mean, there's nothing they can do. Right now, God's waiting patiently for people to accept Him, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what it all boils down to. In the meantime, you know, we're here on this earth, and I'm one of another of many that's trying to bring people to reality what's really going on. I'm certainly not the only one at all. Bill Cooper was bringing it up, and others on a higher level than I am. Aaron Russo, Barry Jennings, a lot of the entertainers that pulled out of the mind control, but most all of them have been killed, assassinated, alleged suicides, etc., you see? Now, I put on as far as part of the agenda for today. I can have my own agenda now, can't I? I'm in fine form today. I tell you what. I just said, man, just let her go. Just let her fly. You know, sometimes I get in these moods. And today people are talking about the federal law enforcement and all kinds of things going on. And Ebola and elections and civil war is coming. They got to have that. And here's what I want to tell you all about that. They want us to fight each other, right? That's pretty obvious. Conflict on earth here. And that we have conflict on earth. And we're fighting each other, either in America or America fighting someone else or whatever. What they're going to do as a dialectic is they're going to have a threat to this world. This has been planned. Since the 1890s, John Dewey. I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm just letting you know the general statement of it. And there'll be a threat to the world. Right now, we're fighting each other. And as soon as this threat to the world happens, what happens then? Everybody comes together. And that's their plan. That will lead to the New World Order and the falling away. And then the man of sin will be revealed. And we're in it. Count 7 years time frame, and you're going to see the real Jesus Christ. But a lot's going to happen. The seven seals, seven bowls, and seven trumpets and seven bowls. Family, read that Bible, because that's exactly what's going to happen. But in the meantime, they're preparing us. That's what's going through right now. So let's talk about some of these little issues that they're talking, and I'm going to show you how they're tricky. Very tricky they are. We'll go back to the dialectic discussion, which I'm going to give you real world examples of that right now. Make sure I've covered everything. You don't mind, do you? This is my broadcast. I can do it if I want to. We had recently, oh, by the way, you think we won the Revolutionary War? No, we didn't. We didn't win that war at all. We just simply turned into a corporation and went under King George III. We're still a colony today. We lost that war. Physically, it may look like we won, but we didn't. Civil War. How do you win that war? We didn't win that war. We fought each other. How do you win a war? You fight each other. How's that work? Really? We just got under debt again. Did we win World War I? No. They simply transferred World War I into World War II. You know what helped foment World War I? FDR, Churchill, Stalin, Hitler, listen to me now, working together because they're all cousins. You understand this? You understand this? And then after they transferred the effects of World War I, and I'm going to talk about that a little later today in another way. They blamed the Jews and all that, and I'll explain how that worked. Hopefully I get to that. Is it transferred at all to World War II? We funded Hitler in 1928 through IG Farben. You see, the chemical cartel was funded by Wall Street, as was the Bolshevik Revolution. It was funded by Wall Street, Rockefellers. They controlled it all. Rothschilds in Europe and Rockefellers over here and worked for the Vatican and the Jesuits again. And we fought the wars and our troops died. Thank you, Republicans, at the highest level. That's what you did. You filled up Arlington Cemetery. Boy, I want to say some words, but I can't say them on the air. Yeah. Chicago Tribune confirms this in 1950, December the 9th, in an article that came out. That their hands are full of blood from the war they created in World War II and the Korean War. I got the article. I found the article. The entire article, December the 9th, 1950, Chicago Tribune confirms this. I'm leading up to something now. I'm not just talking off cuff. I'm leading up to something. I am. Council of Foreign Relations, controlled by the Illuminati and the Jesuits, at the highest level, are nothing more than murderers. Are nothing more than murderers. And the four-star generals sold their soul to the devil, that are Joint Chief of Staff, because they brief them. And they lie. And they set up our own troops. You understand this? And that's a fact. You have Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholars, that's taken a blood oath against America, against God. Look it up on your own. Do it right now. I'm leading up to something. Now, you say, well, how did we lose World War II? Very simple. We brought 10,000 Nazis over in 1945. High-level Nazis, including Adolf Hitler, who died in the 1960s. They're telling you this because recently an article came out called, I quote, "Expelled Nazis Paid Millions in Social Security." Now, for them to be expelled, they had to be here. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can't expel. And they paid Social Security. Now, what are the implications of that? Nazis. That confirms Operation Paperclip. The article, October 19th, 2014. Woo-hoo-hoo. How about that, huh? Dozens of suspected Nazi war criminals and SS guards collected millions of dollars in U.S. Social Security benefits after being forced out of the United States. U.S. Department, Justice Department leveraged persuade Nazi suspects to leave the United States if they agreed to go before deportation. They had to be here first. Rocket scientists they had. They had to be here. Martin Hartman, former SS guard at Schwarzenhausen. Jacob Denzinger, patrolled the grounds of the Auschwitz camp in Poland. It just goes and goes. Von Braun, most all the members of NASA are Masons. Most all the astronauts were all Masons. The liars. Heroes? No, sir. Sorry, I don't accept that. Not at all. I don't bow down. I'm not really amazed. I'm not in awe of astronauts because they took a blood oath and they lied about going to the moon. Family, check it out. I just give you all kinds of names here. You see, I'm serious today. I'm serious today. You know, because when I did some studying on this, I was just amazed, even more so today. Now, I'm heading somewhere now. You keep up with me. Keep up. The Roman Catholic Church, I've been saying this for 5 years, is going to re-spiritualize, right? Well, it's already on the road. New research reveals Christianity's Buddhist roots. They're telling you, family, Christianity was based on pagan, 325 A.D., Constantine, ancient mystery schools of religion, and Buddhism. It's all the same thing. They're telling you now. New research, reveals Christianity's Buddhist roots. Man, they're telling you. I've been telling you all this for 5 darn years. Newly discovered ancient, there we go again. Newly discovered, of course, ancient Christian magical spell reveals Egyptian influence. There's two articles are telling you. The Pope has sacked church official for selling annulments. bad boy. They've been doing that since Martin Luther. Oh, for goodness sakes, these people. Oh. And then the Pope, there's another article. Pope kind of mulls, quote, removing marriage annulment charges. See, they need that dialectic. So you got this preacher, Pope or whatever, this church official, sung annulments. You know what, Martin Luther had a problem? Anyway, you know, selling something in the church, whatever. Now he's thinking, well, we better remove it. This is called a dialectic. This is a Gillian dialectic. So they can re-spiritualize, and they have a reason for it. You see how they do this? The Pope's embrace of evolution brings us one step closer to a one-world religion. Unquote. It's so obvious. Sometimes my jaw gets so torqued, I wonder how I speak. Sometimes. Okay. All right, y'all. I guess you can tell I'm in fine form today, aren't you? You know, after reading what I've been reading today, I just tell you, I'm like, wow, you know. I'm going to tell everybody everything I find. Vladimir Lenin said, destroy the family, you destroy the country, unquote. That's what they've been going through. And they've used racism to cause division in ways that you can't even imagine. Some of you that studied this already know. You see, so let's go to the next step. What's been happening lately? The big thing is, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you got a Navy SEAL who shot Osama bin Laden, revealed as veteran commando, and it gives the name here. So this O'Neill guy, 38 years old, was a man who, quote-unquote, shot bin Laden 3 times in the forehead during a SEAL raid on Abbottabad, which was 4 others killed and no casualties among U.S. forces. Okay. And it was May the 2nd, 2011. Okay, now, I can't say anything about that. I wasn't there. And it's very possible he shot somebody that they think is bin Laden. Okay? Now, so the guy's picture. Got his picture here. Okay. I'm the guy who shot bin Laden. Now, why would he want to do that? You know, but I'm brave. And my daddy says, we don't care. Come get us. Okay, I smell a book coming. But nevertheless, it's here and there. He shot bin Laden. Well, I got to look at this, and did you know, number one, that the anniversary of the New World Order Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, Adam Weishaupt, was May the 1st, 1776. They do things in anniversaries. The shooting of bin Laden, allegedly, was May the 2nd, 2011. May the 2nd. Dates are very important to these people. So they go on to talk about how he fired the gunshots and the, you know, Operation Neptune Spear and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, you got that. I don't have to go over all the details and whatever. So I'm going to let you make your own decision. Now listen very carefully. I've got a series that may take me about 30 minutes here. Could be 40. You know how verbose I get sometimes, right? I'll try to keep it down. I will present you some information and testimony that you're going to hear. And you tell me, or you maybe send me an email, or just don't, or whatever you want to do. But check this out. First piece of evidence. From SouthAsiaAnalysis.org, which is a neutral analysis group. They have really good information. But nevertheless, here's what they say. I quote. Now listen carefully. Now this is going to be a while. I'm going to let you connect the dots. This is how I do things. This is normal for me. So I'm going to give you how I think. And you make your own decision up. But this is my way of doing it. And then you don't believe me. Please don't believe me. Check it out yourself. Here we go. Quote, an article Not having learnt any lessons from the sequel to its policy of encouraging fanaticism and pan-Islamism in Afghanistan, and despite the humiliation inflicted on U.S. troops in Somalia by the HUM, which is a terrorist group, in 1993, the CIA asked the ISI, which is Pakistani intelligence, to divert part of their dregs, D-R-E-G-S, of this terrorist group, HUM, and the HUJI. I'm not going to explain them yet. It would take too long. But they're terrorist groups. To Bosnia, to assist the Muslims in their fight against the Serbs. Unquote. Serbs are Orthodox Christians. In Bosnia, they're lukewarm Muslims. And the CIA is, as it says, is just transferring the jihad from Afghanistan to Bosnia. That's another story. That's what happened. Now, paragraph 2. Quote, the transfer to Bosnia, which were 10,000 Mujahideen, by the way, the transfer to Bosnia was funded by Saudi intelligence. The arms and ammunition were given by the Iranian intelligence. The leadership and motivation was provided and serving and retired officers of the ISI, Pakistani CIA equivalent, and the Turkish intelligence. Ooh. In other words, the CIA is working with Saudi, Iran, Turkey, and Pakistan. They're all working together. Right there is slam dunk. Now listen carefully to the name I'm going to give you. The next sentence says, I quote, Omar Sheikh, who masterminded the kidnapping of Daniel Pearl of the Wall Street Journal, had his jihad inoculation in Bosnia, just as bin Laden had his in Afghanistan from Bosnia. They were diverted to Kosovo, which I spent 5 years in the middle of that quagmire that the government created, and the NATO and Wesley Stupid Clark, Rhodes Scholar, created. It was supposed to be World War III, by the way. Oh, yeah, it was. Anyway, was diverted to Kosovo by the CIA, and thereafter again left in the lurch after they had done the USA's hatchet job in the Balkans. And the MPRI was also working there. I worked with an MPRI guy in a contract in Kisangani, the Congo. I was a project manager for a project there, so I know what the dickens I'm talking about and who they are. I worked for somebody else. Anyway, so you got that. Who's working with who now, right? And who masterminded the kidnapping of Daniel Pearl? Who was working in that area was Omar Sheikh. And Omar Sheikh is connected to bin Laden between Afghanistan and Bosnia. You got it? You got it? Okay. Now, so answer me this. Check this out. In the year 2007, this comes around. Bear with me here. Yes, listen carefully. In 2007, this happened.
There was one report that said that you had arranged to send Benir Musharraf a letter to be sent in the event of your death by assassination, urging him to investigate certain individuals in his government. Is that true?
Yes, it is true that I wrote to General Musharraf. I received information from General Musharraf that a friendly country had passed on to them
2007.
The information that I could be attacked by a gang from the Afghan warlord Baitullah Masood, or by Hamza bin Laden, the son of Osama bin Laden, or by the Pakistani Taliban in Islamabad, or by a group in Karachi. So I sent back a letter saying that while these groups may be used, I thought it was more important to go after the people who supported them, who organized them, who could possibly be the financiers or the organizers of the finance for those groups. And I named three individuals who I thought were their sympathizers. Now I understand that I could be wrong and my suspicions could be misplaced. But these are the people that I suspect want to stop the restoration of democracy. They want to stop my return because they know in 1993, when Pakistan was on the brink of being declared a terrorist state, I stopped the rise of terrorism. And they know that I can do it again. So I feel that these are the forces that really want to stop not just me, but the democratic process and the will of the people from triumphing.
And in terms of these three people that you mentioned, were they members of or associated with the government?
Yes, well, one of them is a very key figure in security. He's a former military officer. He's someone that has had dealings with Jaish-e-Mohammed, one of the banned groups, with Maulana Azhar, who was in an Indian jail for decapitating three British tourists and three American tourists. And he also had dealings with Umar Sheikh, the man who murdered Osama bin Laden. Now, I know that having dealings with people does not necessarily mean direct evidence, but I also know that internal security has totally collapsed in Pakistan and that internal security cannot collapse without there being some blind eye, if not collusion, being turned to the rise of the militants and militancy. Not only are our tribal areas out of our control, but even the beautiful valley of Swat is now under takeover by Islamists. So I would like to see a park-led police inquiry assisted by Scotland Yard or the FBI come in, use their forensic and scientific explanation to find out not only...
Uh-oh. So 2007, Benir Bhutto says that bin Laden was shot by Omar Sheikh. Wow. Now, that was in 2007 in that interview she had on TV. And I'm watching them talk. In 2007, the assassination of Benazir Bhutto occurred in 27 December of the same year in Pakistan. She is leader of the opposition Pakistan People's Party, campaigning ahead of the elections scheduled for January 2008. Guess what happened? She was assassinated that same year she had this interview. You think that was a coincidence, right? A coincidence. Well, let's see what happened. Here in a second. These doggone, I hate advertisements. These things really tick me off. Here we go. All right, here we go.
It's late afternoon, and a crowd estimated at a few hundred is swarming around Benazir Bhutto's car. Clean-shaven man in sunglasses is watching at the fringes. He's concealing a gun. The man in white behind him is the suspected suicide bomber. The sniper moves in to within a few feet of Bhutto, who is greeting her supporters. He fires three shots. The last bang is that of the suicide bomber, blowing himself up. 21 people in all were fatally injured here. You can hear their cries of pain and shock. Look at the shooting again. As the gunman fires at Bhutto, her hair is lifted. Her shawl is also seen to rise, and she falls inside her car. These images, broadcast for the first time, apparently contradicting the official version of events, which insists that Benazir Bhutto was not shot.
So, that's an interesting turn of events in the same year. She talked about that. She was assassinated. And before she could come up for the elections. Okay, now I'm not done. I'm not done at all. So then, The Navy SEAL who shot al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden in 2011, he's almost broke now. He doesn't have any money. Why is all this coming up now? Well, now let's add together. Remember I was talking, I told y'all, I was building a case here. I talked to y'all about the CFR. I talked to you about al-Qaeda. I talked to y'all about the Hum and the Huji and the Mujahideen and being moved from Afghanistan to Bosnia and all that. And Omar Sheikh part of it and bin Laden part of it and all that sort of thing going on. Well, let's keep on going here. We're on a roll, I guess. I hope so. Let's see what we got here. How about this? Now we'll add this to it. Testimony. Just more lies, but...
We also have a history of kind of moving in and out of Pakistan.
Part truth and part lies.
Let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work. And it was President Reagan, in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's great. Let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam, so that we can go beat the Soviet Union. And guess what? They retreated. They lost billions of dollars, and it led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. So there's a very strong argument, which is, wasn't a bad investment to end the Soviet Union, but let's be careful what we sow, because we will harvest. So we then left Pakistan. We said, okay, fine, you deal with the stingers that we've left all over your country. You deal with the mines that are along the border. And by the way, we don't want to have anything to do with you. In fact, we're sanctioning you. So we stopped dealing with the Pakistani military and with ISI, and we now are making up for a lot of lost time.
Now, that's mixed with truth and fiction. Russia invading Afghanistan has worked together with the United States. We're all working together. The Jesuits are controlling both sides. Okay, Russia, you ready to invade? Okay, America, you ready to work? Okay, great. We all work together? Let's go have lunch. Let's go. That's how it works. That's how it really works. You understand this? And that's a fact. All right? So they're all working together to create this thing, like bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, like Milosevic. It's all set up. It's scripted. And we are the suckers for it. All right. Now, I said stingers. I brought back with me from Kosovo I whittled it down to 500 pounds. But I had 700 pounds of documents. Oh, I sure do, man. I got them stuck away in 2 4-drawer file cabinets. I got 8 drawers of file cabinets of documents I brought back in personal gear from Kosovo when I worked for the OSCE and UN. I brought back personal gear, about 700 documents. That's confirmed. I got articles that's been put out on me and all this and all that, and I don't, you know, it's all there. And I remember the situation reports about stingers that we had to fool with or we were concerned about. And I work with Russian intelligence. And I worked with some of the Albanian terrorists. I worked with them that were good guys, not the ones like Tachi and Ramush Haranai and Javed Aliti that works with the U.S. government that were Albanian mafia. And they gave money to the Kerry campaign. Yeah, they did, man. They did. So I was working with Muhammad Jamali. He is a friend of mine. And I worked with Russian intelligence, the Italian Carabinieri, some underground work with the UN intelligence guys, and lieutenants and captains for the U.S. government would sneak me reports, and I'd get reports from the United States military, the police that were under Donacor. They'd sneak me reports because I bring up these things. That's in the meetings in Bonstil and Monteith and all that. I didn't give a hoot. I guess that's why my contract went from 7 years to 5. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, it got cut short. But in any case, I was trying to get as much information as I could out to people because I was responsible for the lives of 300 people. I take that serious. And I don't have any kind of loyalty to anybody that's a liar and a cheater because I got lives under my protection. You know, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to improvise. That's more important. That's how I see it. You see, and so when they're playing these stupid games like Hillary and Wesley Clark and all these other liars, the whole darn lot of them, I'll do what I have to do to get my job done. Of course, I'm not doing it anymore, but that was my attitude back then. I'm not done. No. And so we go to step number whatever it is. I've lost track already, but in any case, we go to the next step. Here we go. Just to make sure we got it covered in all bases. All right, you ready? Oh, yeah, here we go. This is another darn advertisement. Oh, it's not. Okay, stand by.
If you think if we walked away from this, didn't give them money today, it would be worse for us from a security standpoint.
I do. We're building a relationship that just did not exist. I said in our last trip when you were with me, we had a huge trust deficit.
Oh, your next president, she's talking with Wesley Clark, her vice president later.
To be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else, to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye. Leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
Okay, I just want to make two of them there, two different interviews. She says the same thing. Okay, at least she's consistent in lying. That's one thing they're consistent in. Okay, so let's go to the next step. You're going to love this one. Here's a CIA guy. And watch this. Oh, Elmer Fudd would be proud. Okay, here's a CIA guy talking. I'm not going to play the whole thing, part of it.
We're sitting down with Michael Scheuer, the man who had served in the CIA for more than 20 years, up until 2004. At one time, he was the chief of the CIA Bin Laden unit. Then he went and exposed how counter-effective Washington's methods were in the fight against terror. He looked at the U.S. through its enemies' eyes. In fact, it's the title of one of his books called Through Our Enemies' Eyes. I'm very pleased to have the chance to interview you,
Thank
Mr.
you.
Scheuer.
I'm glad to be here.
Bin Laden is gone. Who is Washington's number one enemy now?
Washington's enemy is an enemy that doesn't exist. We're fighting an Islamic enemy that Washington believes is out to kill us because we have elections, because we're free, because we have women in the workplace. It's an enemy that doesn't exist. It didn't exist when Bin Laden was alive. It doesn't exist now. America is being attacked because of its foreign policy in the Muslim world, because of its support for Israel, because of its support for the Saudi police state, because of its presence on the Arab Peninsula. And until we accept that, until Americans can say to each other, whether you support aid to Israel or not, our relationship with Israel is causing this war, we are not going to be able to defeat this enemy. And Israel itself, as a country, is not the problem. The real problem is the leaders of the Jewish American community in the United States who influence and corrupt our Congress to support Israel when we have no interest there.
You imply that the Israeli lobby is dragging the United States into the wars, into
absolutely.
The conflict?
They're absolutely dragging us in. Iraq was a war that was proffered or was called for mainly.
Then let me ask you this. Yeah. The situation in the region, in the wake of all these revolutions in the Middle East and North Africa,
yes.
You can pretty much describe it as turmoil. Turmoil is no good for Israel. What you're saying?
Well, the American political establishment is caught between...
Okay, enough of that. Now, he blames the Jews. So now they've shifted it from no Islam, but to anti-Jews. Isn't that clever? Somebody get to make the mind up. These people are such liars and manipulators, it's not even funny. Now, I got a really good book here, and it's Manuel Josephson, Roosevelt's Communist Manifesto, 1955. And it says, and I quote, "The impression of a Jewish conspiracy against the Tsar was fortified," that's back in the 1900s, early, "was fortified by the simultaneous publication of the teachings of Adam Weishaupt, the renegade Jesuit, for the priestcraft degree of the Order of the Illuminati, translated into Russia under the name of the Protocols of Zion. There are more than a mere coincidence in the timing of the publication and revolution. It was well designed to make it appear that the Russian Revolution was but one phase of the attempt of the Jews to take over the control of the world and obtain the objectives laid down by Weishaupt and furthered by Rockefeller. Malefactors have always found it wise to establish an alibi or set up a fall guy. There's your dialectic." Yeah. "In this instance, and many others, the always suspect Jews served this purpose, primarily because they lacked the cunning and propensity to realize that they are being used. Henry Ford, in this instance, as in others, also was used as a dumb pawn by the Rockefeller interest in spreading this false propaganda and to take the rap for it. The Ford Foundation, which through the control of the Treasury Department had been taken over by the agents of the Rockefeller interests, is being used by them for the same purpose. The Ford family will be extremely fortunate if they are not robbed completely of their enterprise by the conspirators. And through Jacob Schiff," and of course add in Woodrow Wilson, "the conspirators financed the efforts of Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, and their criminal crew of followers of Adam Weishaupt in the Russian Revolution of 1905. Remember I told you it's orchestrated? Now you know why. How about that? Now, I don't like just, it goes on and it goes on. And I don't like just one reference on something because, you know, that's a little bit hazardous. So I try to go a little bit more. And I found in another book called Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr, something else very interesting. Was on the first, I got the original, Red Fog of America, 1955, first edition. Quote, "Those charged with preparing the," excuse me, let's go back, sorry. "Because the policy, the directors have always been to work behind the scenes," that's the dialectic, "never to allow their identity for the connection with the revolutionary forces to be known, it was decided that a new document should be made available to historians. The new document was written in such a way that suspicion was turned away from the directors of the Illuminati, which are Italian, by the way, German, Roman, yeah, 13 families, I can name them for you, and directed toward the leaders of the Jewish revolutionary movement in Russia. So these charged," continuing, "those charged with preparing the hoax used to plan found in the courier's body," that was in the 1700s, about 1700s, about the bloody plan, "but they changed certain words and phrases to make those who read the new document believe it to be a Jewish plot to obtain world domination in accordance with the policy of political Zionism as advocated by Herzl in 1897. Unquote. The Vatican not only created Islam in the 6th century, you heard me right. The Vatican also created the Zionist movement in 1897. The Vatican also created in the 1920s the Muslim Brotherhood. Yes, they did. Now, quote, the reason the Jews were picked to be scapegoats was because the directors of the Illuminati had met in 1893 and planned the Spanish-American War at the sinking of the Maine, which is a false flag. Yeah. Continue. 1898, to give them control of the Cuban sugar industry. And the Boer War, 1899, to give them control of the African diamond mines, J.P. Morgan, and gold fields. The Russian-Japanese War, I told you about already, in 1904, that the Rothschilds set up. Remember they worked both sides against each other? In order to weaken the Russian government and economy so it might be overthrown by the revolution planned for 1905. So by having the Jews blamed as the authors and perpetrators of the international conspiracy, the Illuminati, which are Roman, German, Italian, the Illuminati felt certain there would be such a wave of anti-Semitism created in Russia and France that they, the directors of the Illuminati, could proceed with the rest of the plans for revolutions and wars without being suspected. Ooh, man, I just upturned a whole lot of, hey, Christian identity, what you going to do now? What you going to do now? It goes on to talk about, I could keep going and keep going on that. That, I don't know if some of y'all caught some of the implications of what I'm talking about here. It is serious. It is serious. Things I'm opening up right here. Now, we're talking about the sugar industry, right? Back in the 1900s, how they moved all that around. During the Banana Wars, y'all. Well, I got something else for you. That I hadn't planned on using, but I can use it actually. How about, now keep in mind this train of thinking about the sugar industry that they're taking over, the Baku fields and all that early 1900s. Diamond mines, all that nonsense, all right? How about this one? Now you know. Listen carefully.
You can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign market and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan as outlined to me was to form an organization of veterans, to use as a bluff or as a club at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A congressional committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows, for corporations to dominate government, a coup is no longer necessary.
Corporations have gone global. And by going global, the governments have lost some control over.
Okay, they get into more nonsense saying the corporations control the government. That's all baloney. You don't need to hear the rest of that because it's trash. The Jesuits control the governments. The Illuminati control the governments. And in this particular segment, they're again deceiving the public and making you think the corporations are doing it, when in reality it's Illuminati and the Jesuits that are doing it. And that's, it continues on, the CFR. That's who's doing it. Okay. So, you know, so there's lie all the way. Now, I'm not done. I have not done at all. I'm just trying to get warmed up and bring it all to you. You see. And I'm, you know, you all that's listening today, you're conspiracy researchers. I don't like this conspiracy theorist because it's been proven there's no theory about it whatsoever. It's a fact. So really, who I'm talking to? I'm talking to CFR, you. I'm talking to you, Joint Chief of Staff, you, you, and you. I'm talking to those that are secret societies that don't know you're being used. And I'm warning you. I'm telling you. They're lying to you. That's who I'm talking to, because the rest of you already know this stuff. I'm just trying to connect dots. You know that there, that Clinton Roosevelt in 1841 copied, plagiarized by direction of the Illuminati and the Freemasons, the document protocols learned of the design by Weissop that finished May the 1st, 1776. 1841, I've got a copy of it right here. I've got it word for word. I've got the actual copy. Well, not the actual copy, but I've got a reproduction. That'd be a reproduction, but a reproduction of the actual copy. You know, by Clinton Roosevelt, ancestor to FDR, 1841. He passed it to Karl Marx, who had a hand in it. Manzini, Italian. And Albert Pike, who has a steel statue up in Little Rock, Arkansas, y'all. It's all part of the Illuminati. And their plans that still stand today follow the following measures that Clinton Roosevelt covered in his Science of Government found on natural law, humanism. One, number one, overthrow of existing governments and a replacement by a dictator of the conspirators. Number two, looting individuals and nations of their wealth through such devices as violence, war, capital, income taxes, confiscatory inheritance taxes, and eventually an end of private ownership of property, except at the hands of the conspirators, who would then own all property and usurp the power that such ownership would yield. Three, destruction of all religions, supplanting them with doctrine laid down by the conspirators, humanism. Number four, listen. Number four, destruction of the family and supplanting its discipline by that of the dictators. Number five, internationalism that was required by the conspirators' theme for control over one world, involving the outlawing of patriotism and the fostering of treason. The aspects of this conspiracy were first widely broadcast, then with the aid of Clinton Roosevelt, 100 years ancestral cousin of FDR, by the way, his Islamist associates by Hendrik Karl Marx, who as usual plagiarized them without even imitating the Weishaupt Illuminist source. What I call it? What I call that? It wanted to bring up internationalism, right? 1841? Now, this will put a new light on what I'm getting ready to read you now. Dr. Chester M. Pierce, Harvard University, 1973, in front of 2,000 teachers, he said the following. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because it comes to school with a certain allegiance toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international children of the future, unquote. Don't tell me there's no conspiracy. Checkmate. So you all at CFR, you're being taken for fools to your own destruction if you don't get out of there. Because they're going to kill you when they're done with you. They're not going to let you live. I'm trying to warn you. Everybody else knows, but you. I'm not done. So the CIA agent here says there is no Al-Qaeda. At least they're true. And that's the same thing with ISIS. It's the same thing. CFR. Well, Council of Foreign Relations, December the 9th, 1950. And I got the actual article. I found it. Under a microfiche. And that article says, after they planned the Korean War, and its outcome was already planned, and the same thing with the Vietnam War, the outcome of that was planned around the 1950s. December the 9th, 1950, I quote, Chicago Tribune, begin quote, the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, of course, should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, that would be World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War, because they made sure, unquote, the CFR, working with the governments, made sure that Red China remained communist. They used the 7th Fleet to blockade Chiang Kai-shek and 500,000 free Chinese soldiers from crossing over from Formosa / Taiwan and retaking Red China. We stopped that. The State Department, under the direction of the Jesuits, sent the 7th Fleet, our own troops, our own Navy, to stop the free Chinese from crossing into and taking Red China. They wanted to make sure that North Korea remained communist or would be communist, and that China remained communist. Now you know. How do I know? It's in the diary of General Douglas MacArthur in his book. Is that high enough for you? Yeah. Okay. Well, CFR, that's the enemy, right? Of themselves, even. So how about this? Let's take a little trick here. Right off the bat.
Oh, thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down
Foreign
the
Relations.
Street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard just gave what could be described as a mini version of my remarks in talking about the issues that confront us. But I look out at this audience filled with not only many friends and colleagues, but people who have served in prior administrations. And so there is never a time when the inbox is not full. You know, shortly before I started at the State Department, a former Secretary of State called me with this advice: don't try to do too much. And it seemed like a wise admonition, if only it were possible. But the international agenda today is unforgiving. Two wars, conflict in the Middle East, ongoing threats of violent extremism and nuclear proliferation, global recession, climate change, hunger and disease, and a widening gap between the rich and the poor.
Ooh, how about that? I'm not done. Let's keep going. Now, the next person to speak for us today, my guest, is a cousin of George Bush, a cousin of Romney, a cousin of Kerry. They're all cousins. He's going to speak for us today. I got some famous guests today, don't I? Let's have another guest today, a cousin of all of them, literally a bloodline cousin, by the way, of all of them, and we'll have him speak today for us.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Dick Council Cheney. On Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americas, subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
I'm not laughing. I think it's pathetic. Family, they're all bloodline cousins. You understand this? They're bloodline through the Merovingian bloodline. And they're high-level cousins. Their higher-level cousins is Queen Elizabeth II, going back in history, Stalin, second cousins, to Churchill, another murderer, Lusitania, J.P. Morgan, Churchill, not J.P. Morgan, but Churchill's second cousin to all I've named so far, and Adolf Hitler, under the Rothschild bloodline and sperm seed. They're all in the same family bloodline. Now you know why they brought Hitler over in 1945-46. He got a little power lustful, and their plan for a new world order in 1943 to 1945 failed because America failed to go into dictatorship as planned by Roosevelt. Now, you'll have another appreciation for a statement made by Roosevelt, March of 1439, behind closed doors, was not revealed until 1950. Red Fog of America, you'll find it. My website, watchmeforjesus.com, I've got it in my milestones there. You'll find it in the chronology. Roosevelt said in front of three congressional committees, he said the following, behind closed doors, not to be revealed to the public, but it was revealed by Senator Lundeen to William G. Carr about some years later. Quote, FDR, behind closed doors, the real FDR. Begin quote. I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. You see, the Butler comes into play here. You see, he blew them up. He blew them up. He busted it up. I'm putting my people, that's Illuminati, FDR and Illuminati, that's correct, ahead of all instruments. Instruments are American people. Quote, I'll have had full understanding with Chamberlain and will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people. As far as the democracy is concerned, it does not exist, it never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I'm going to crush business. Listen, infest America with all the aliens possible. Sound familiar? And the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal, that's to be the new world order, by the way, is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. That was said in front of the secret audience for the Military Appropriation Committee, Ways and Means Committee, and Special War Finance Committee. And that copy of that statement was made or procured by Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, Lundeen, given to William G. Carr between 1950 and 55. How do y'all like them apples? Now, I'm not done yet. No, 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 no. So, in December the 9th, the full quote, 1950, said, I quote, the members of the council are persons of much more than average influence in the community. They have used the prestige that their wealth, their social position, and their education has given them to lead their country towards bankruptcy and military debacle. They should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, maybe World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one. That was the Korean War. Now, you heard the testimony, Mujahideen, Bin Laden, and you heard about going to Bosnia. You heard about Afghanistan, right? Okay. Well, I got something else for you. As we move right along here, how about this? Zbigniew Brzezinski, murderer, advisor to how many presidents, Lord of mercy, and still is. Members of about every council you can count on. And this is during the time the Mujahideen were in Afghanistan. And listen to him lie to them.
U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski flew to Pakistan to set about rallying resistance. He wanted to arm the Mujahideen without revealing America's role. On the Afghan border near the Khyber Pass, he urged the soldiers of God to redouble their efforts.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day because your fight will prevail and you'll have your homes and your mosques back again because your cause is right and God is on your side.
The purpose of coordinating with the Pakistanis will be to make the Soviets bleed for as much as long as possible.
They said the same thing in 1960. You're going to Vietnam to fight communists. They said the same thing in Korea. You're going over there to protect Koreans from the communists coming across the Yalu. Said the same thing in Iraq. I said the same thing in every single war. I'm still not done. I'm continuing. And then, you have the same Brzezinski that believes in God. Currently, or recently, saying this. Same one.
The lethality of their power is greater than ever. Their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people, literally. It was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control. And of course, that bears directly on the use of force, particularly by societies that are culturally alien over other societies.
There you go. How's that? Y'all make up your own mind. I presented you evidence with their own quotes. I got something else for you, though. You thought I was done, didn't you? You know me better than that. Now, since you and yours are at the CFR, you're not serious about it, really. You think you got the hand in this pot. You got a big problem. They're going to use you up. So, when I was doing this study, there's always been a quote that I've perplexed me for the longest time. I never could figure it out. Now, after doing this study, this quote makes all the sense in the world. You'll love this one. Because now this makes all the sense that I didn't know before. It does now. The following quote.
There are reports that there is no evidence of a direct link between Baghdad and some of these terrorist organizations.
There are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
Excuse me, but is this an unknown unknown?
I'm not
several unknowns, and I'm just wondering.
I'm not going to say which it is.
Mr. J,
you know, I'm right here.
That makes all the sense in the world now. Does it to you? Does me? I understand that quote perfectly now. There's all kinds of unknowns. It's unknown to unknown. Who's on first? You see what's going on here? You got people still hanging on to this conspiracy that think they're going to win at the highest level, and they're all being brought against each other at the highest level. And they don't know that their strings are being jerked and their sock is becoming unraveled right under their very noses. Family, we're all being divided, caused to fight each other under this dialectic that I've tried to, give an example of today, the best I can. and using their own testimony, because I know you get tired of hearing me talk all the time, right? So I let them talk a little bit about it in their own. I want to remind you all about something, about our broadcast, or my broadcast and my Bible studies, up in highpointradio.net, by the way. John Kirkler plays our broadcast and our Bible studies. And I want to talk about this a few minutes here now, because we're still on TalkStream Live. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays our broadcast and Bible studies randomly on his network, his towers, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania area. And he's got sponsors there, and he's going to increase his network reach. So if you live up there in those areas, go to his website, highportradio.net, find out his sponsors there, and maybe use them if you have the opportunity to. And also remind you about my website, watchmenforjesus.com, and my Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus, is also there on the internet. So, family, I hope today a little bit I've given you an idea about what you really are up against. But, or however, they're up against the Savior. They're up against a supernatural control that's over their heads, and the ones controlling them, God's over all of them. And they lose. Some can win if they renounce the blood oath of which they're under and not end up going to hell. You know, Roosevelt, FDR, you know that copying Weishaupt, Roosevelt proceeded to divide to rule, inciting class warfare. Willie Lynch had a lot to do with that in 1711. The plans were passed on to control. FDR acknowledged that control manipulation of money, or Weishaupt did, of the root of all evils, which he decries, he said. But instead of attacking the root, which is the very device that his and his fellow Illuminists planned to use for their enslavement of mankind, which is now coming to its fruition, he vaguely and fleetingly suggested kicking the money lenders, who happened to be he and his kinsmen, out of the temple. That's the dialectic, to expose the evil, and they just take over as the good. That is the dialectic. That's why they're revealing who the bankers are. That's why they're revealing the Illuminati is the evil. They want you to know this. They're using controlled opposition, certain programs, pretending to be on your side, but they're not. He committed consecrates with the producer, the forgotten man. In other words, he professes that he feels so sorry for laborers that he wants to regiment them and enslave them on an international basis. So the power they gained, he planned to use to wage war on the workers and the fellow victims of this dishonest monetary system on their employers. This is what the Masons and the Illuminati control, the unions, the labor unions. And you had to pay. That's part of the Illuminati, under the guise that they were helping conditions of workers. No, they work for the Illuminati. The plans were to usurp their property, regiment them under his dictation, and distribute their wealth. It's always been that. He plans to emasculate and destroy the Constitution. He liked to a sinking ship to make way for dictatorship of his own devising. It's been passed down to every single president we've got today, except for the ones who rebelled, and they were shot or revealed too much. You see? For example, how about Bush? He's no different. Listen carefully.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
It's like musical chairs. Which one's going to get it? Which one's going to be the one that's going to be the dictator or the fall guy that's going to bring in the New World Order, the North American continent? Who's he going to be? You see, FDR was going to do it. Reagan's going to do it. Nixon was definitely going to do it. Bush is going to do it. It all fell through. Now they're setting up, and Obama's working with them as being the bad guy. He's told to be. He is the one. He's trying to be one just like the rest of them have. Clinton, they all follow a script. It's all scripted out. You know, they do what they're told to do. That's all they are, little puppet boys. But you know, here's my point. God's in control. That's why they haven't achieved it yet. So the only way they can achieve it is by getting the countries to turn away from God, change the laws of the land, causing God to step away, and when enough of laws have been changed and the people have turned away from God, we're in it. That's why they're doing the same-sex marriage, child euthanasia acts, legalizing drugs, stopping, and it's coming, I'm going to tell you right now, eliminating nationwide the death penalty, and one of the final acts will be to open up all prisons, and they'll close down any incarceration of any prisons nationwide. That's a New World Order. That's a Humanist Manifesto. That's a New Age movement. This is going to happen. They've already started infiltrating the police departments by felons, 185,000 of them since 2006, of the multi-jurisdictional task force working with the UN. And they've been trained in Christian Identity, the ADL, multilingual, college-educated, infiltrating into the major police departments, identifying the police officers that's not going to be on their side, and they're the ones doing all the bad things that cops are doing today. This is what's going on now, as we speak. It's been happening all along. They will set up their own cops in a heartbeat. They will not hesitate to do that. It's being done already. You see, what they don't realize is they also will be set up. That's how they work it. Psalms 34:21. That's a prophecy that has not come true yet. It happened before the flood. Psalms 34:21 is going to happen again. And what is that? It says, Psalms 34:21 is yet to happen. Quote, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Family, that time's coming. And there's no stopping it. I hope today I've made a point. I put this together. This is me putting something together. Mostly it's just off the top of my head things, and I'm pulling here and pulling there, and it comes out. Today was a little different. Today I had a plan, and was to make a point of what you're really up against. But they got to understand what they're up against. They're up against the creator of this universe. Literally. And he's already won. Quote, relative to the race issue that they're being used to set us up for, too. But the Rockefellers are, and always have been, the most influential advocates of assimilation and homogenization of the Negroes by intermarriage and other processes on the part of the peasants, but they themselves have been carefully refrained from giving an example by leading the way and intermarrying with Negroes, except unintentionally. The Rockefellers are the all-powerful supporters of the FEPC and the Negro organizations such as Urban League, of which Winthrop Rockefeller is an officer. Well, this goes back to the 1950s. And others that foster and promote Negro dominance and communism among the Negroes. Ralph Bunche is a top Negro protege and agent of the Rockefellers in the furtherance among the blacks of the Luminist Socialist Communist Conspiracy, whether it be among the several colored folks of southern USA or the savage Mau Mau of Kenya. So powerful is the protection given by the Rockefeller interest to Bunche that when former communist informers working for the FBI exposed Ralph Bunche as a fellow communist, they were ousted from the FBI and threatened with prosecution and persecuted in the Weishaupt Gestapo tradition. Bunche was cleared of the charges and secret hearings conducted by the conspirators, and then Bunche was promoted to the third-ranking position in the United Nations, the conspirators' top one-world agency, unquote. This house really works. I have another little surprise for you. Quote, when they set up a financial memorial for their murder of the workers, the brutal Colorado Fuel and Iron Massacre, here's what happened. Listen carefully. Quote, whenever under attack, the Rockefellers made such philanthropic gestures, particularly to religion. In the early part of the century, following the outraged outcry of the nation at the brutal Colorado Fuel and Iron Massacre of their workers, they set up the Laura Spelman Rockefeller Memorial. It initially was entirely devoted to charity and support of churches. But as soon as public attention was directed, Hegelian dialectic, its monies went to support a subversion and the Illuminist Communist Conspiracy under the direction of Beardsley Rumnell. They also launched Billy Sunday on his evangelical revivalism in that era, as they are now doing, 1955, with Billy Graham, who, by the way, is a third-degree Mason. Quote, Weishaupt taught his followers well the value of using religion and philanthropy as a cover for the conspiracy. Rockefeller's chief Protestant philanthropy ran by kinsman John Foster Dulles. The Federal Council of Churches of Christ was pronounced by Naval Intelligence in 1936 to be one of the most dangerous, subversive institutions in the country. The Federal Council of Churches, by the way, family, when they got this announcement, they changed it to the National Council of Churches. Any questions? Oh, well, family, I'm going to continue this Monday. And next week, we'll talk more about race, feminism, affirmative action, and how this all works together. And then eventually we'll talk about it. They've already failed, though. All this is for nothing. All this is for nothing. They will not succeed. God's in control. If they succeeded, they'd done it already. That's another point I wanted to make. The trees and woods shall rejoice before the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:33. Lord, thank you for all your well-seeing nature. You know everything I do and think. Help me to value your approval, live according to your standards, no matter what anyone else may think. Tonight, Bible study, 8 to 9. And we'll continue this Monday, 4 to 6. And I'll have much more to talk to you about. And we'll take different tacks and different directions. and I'll give you as much information as I possibly can while I still can. Family, hope today this opens your eyes up. Everything, I mean everything, feminism, racism, Nazism, fascism, Zionism, Islam, all of it is under control of these secret society members, the Illuminati, and there's a hierarchy over the Illuminati. The Illuminati includes the kings and queens, so there's a hierarchy over them. Incorporate the Black Hand. Oh yeah, we know about that. Family, this is how Satan has it all set up. But you already know, because it's going by the book, and they fail. It's already been told to you. Don't let them put fear in your heart. Don't let them put fear in your life. It sells, people buy, because of fear. Well, can't help that, because fear is not in you when you have faith in God. Y'all have a good night. Have a good weekend. And God bless y'all. And we'll see you tonight, 8 to 9, Bible study, if you care to join. And then, if not, it'll be 4 o'clock next Monday. And I will have the archives of this show, which I'm going to send out pretty quick today. Because I think this one, I believe that this one really kind of slam dunked some issues. I do believe. And that was the purpose of it all along today. So y'all have a good night and God bless you. And this is The Watchman, signing off.
Every day to the end of time.